From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, doctors from the millennial generation. They might let you live tweet a procedure, but their elders worry where that leaves patient care. First, Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings announced today that he'll seek a second term. KERA's Bill Siebel reports Rawlings won't back off a pair of controversial positions that drew harsh criticism in his first 4 years.
Those two issues, education for one, in his strong support for Dallas Superintendent Mike Miles, and the controversial home rule effort that could change the way Dallas schools are run. The charter wasn't ready for November's election, which may have doomed it.
Look, if we're going to transform our school system, you have to change teachers, you have to change principals, you have to change administration, and you have to make sure your governance system is set up the optimal way.
Rawlings also continued to embrace the Trinity River Parkway, the 9-mile toll road critics are challenging. Rawlings says the Trinity must be developed the right way, or South Dallas will never reach its potential. Some say an upcoming design summit he's behind is an attempt to save the project.
The right way is to make sure that massive, beautiful piece of property serves all of Dallas, to make sure that it has economic growth, it has quality of life growth, helps us mobility-wise, weaves North Dallas and South Dallas families together.
Rawlings also wants to keep marketing the Dallas Arts District and other assets to the world.
We need to be a place where great creative people come and live because of the arts and culture we have in this city. And I want to reach out throughout the globe and get a bigger market share of that growth. People don't know about Dallas-Fort Worth, and they want to be part of this city of prosperity, and I want to focus on that as well.
Mike Rawlings was first elected in 2011. The next mayor's election is May 9th of 2015. Bill Siebel, KERA News.
Text messages from your doctor are just the start. Millennial physicians are taking over hospital wards and doctor's offices, and they're bringing new technologies and ideas about life-work balance. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports on healthcare in the age of the millennial physician.
Meet the next generation of doctors. UT Southwestern's class of 2014 is celebrating graduation. Class Vice President Amy Ho says with modern technology, med school really wasn't too hard.
But if you want to do the entire thing by video stream, which I decided to do, you can. So I'd wake up at 10, work out for, you know, an hour or so, get some lunch, and then video stream for like 6 hours. And then go out to happy hour. It actually was not that bad.
Ho is bent on having a work-life balance and super tech savvy. One time, a patient asked Ho if it was okay if he recorded her performing a minor surgical procedure.
He Instagram videoed the entire procedure. It's not that a senior physician couldn't do it. I think that they might not have the comfort level.
She means comfort with technology. Millennial doctors want offices that are high tech. Many have never worked with paper charts, and they don't read dusty medical journals. They look at them online.
We absolutely consult Wikipedia, not the library, to find the most up-to-date medical research.
When young docs meet with patients, it's a safe bet they'll be behind a laptop or at least glancing at their smartphones.
Well, I think the physician-patient relationship has suffered.
Meet a doctor from the baby boom generation. Rick Snyder is a cardiologist and past president of the Dallas County Medical Society. He worries what's happening with young doctors is like what happened to young soldiers during Vietnam. Yes, that's the analogy he used. Fighters became too reliant on technology and lost their dogfighting skills.
We as physicians, if you will, that's our dogfighting skills, talking to a patient. Now we're really required to spend more time with computers than the patient.
The old guard, Snyder says, well, they just worked more.
Your job came first. Personal life was second. You were supposed to sacrifice that. The newer generation, they are more willing to ask the question, well, how much vacation time? How much time do I have with my family?
In the 80s, residents spent so much time training at hospitals, Snyder says, that some med schools would talk about the divorce rate among med students with a badge of honor. 30-hour shifts were standard. Now, first-year residents aren't allowed to work more than 16-hour shifts. This reflects a larger trend of doctors working fewer hours and in teams. Dr. Saudi Raza has a lot in common with Dr. Snyder. They work in the same office, both have wives who are also cardiologists, and they were born on the same day. but they're from different generations. Raza is a millennial.
My generation of physicians, when they come out of training, they're far less likely to go into solo practice.
Raza says virtually no one wants to be like the iconic Dr. Marcus Welby. Yeah, I had to look that up too. Working alone, making house calls, millennial physicians are choosing hospital teams and group practices.
Because your burden isn't on you exclusively because of the team approach. They're people you can share management of a patient with.
Sharing patients, working less, the hope is that physicians won't burn out as fast. But some baby boomer doctors say practicing medicine with this kind of sharing economy approach could be bad for patients' health.
If you are having too many handoffs of care between one physician and another physician and another physician, which you can easily have with shift-based work, it's almost like the game that you played when you were a kid, that you whisper a sentence going around a circle and see how screwed up it gets by the end of the game. It's like that, only way more dangerous.
Karen Seibert is an anesthesiologist in Los Angeles. She bristles at the thought of working part-time or less than 10-hour days. But working fewer hours doesn't mean millennials aren't out to change the world. After all, they are millennials. Which brings us back to Amy Ho. Like many young doctors, she's combining patient care with policy work to reform the healthcare system. And she has a message for patients worried about the next generation of doctors.
Regardless, there's one thing that I think holds true for every generation. Everyone is there to try to take care of you. Everyone is there because they want to take care of patients.
Whether it's with a pen, a quill, or a smartphone, she says, you'll still be in good hands. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Victorian England is taking over stages from Grapevine to Lancaster to the Dallas Theater Center this month, thanks to A Christmas Carol. And if you thought Tiny Tim had it bad, life was actually much tougher for other kids who often had full-time jobs by age 6. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to historian Ruth Goodman about the everyday struggles of Victorian life. Buying food that wasn't actually food is near the top of the list.
Anywhere you go at any time, there have always been those who try and pass off poor quality goods as high quality goods. But the Victorian period saw a real intensification in things being padded out with a non-edible. Vast proportions of the flour on sale in British shops contained large quantities of chalk and of alum. And the actual amount of flour you got varied depending on how much you paid for it. Tea was adulterated. To some degree, in some of the adulterations, there was no actual tea left in it at all. People would gather blackthorn leaves, in particular dry blackthorn leaves, and then they would be dyed with red lead, which is poisonous, to make them look like tea. And that was sold, sometimes mixed in with tea, but sometimes entirely on its own.
It's no wonder they were malnourished.
So many of the things in the Victorian period, you know, they take problems that had been going on for a long time and they reach a sort of absolute crunch point. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then eventually it gets so bad, something has to be done about it. And so much of modern life is based on that something has to be done. So all the first regulations, all the first attempts to make sure that our food is pure and what it says on the packet, we owe that to the Victorians.
Ruth Goodman is the author of How to Be a Victorian, a dawn to dusk guide to Victorian life. Think re-airs tonight at 9, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Tonight should be mostly cloudy with a low around 46. Tomorrow, however, should be cloudy and warmer with a high near 61. Tomorrow night, yeah, much of the same. Cloudy, 20% chance for showers with a low about 55. It's currently 48 degrees in Dallas, 49 in Fort Worth, 51 in Tyler, and 44 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.